All right, so while it's loading, my name is Rochelle Bolton, and I work at the Utah Department of Health in our Division of Disease Control and Prevention Informatics Program. And so today I'd like to share with you some work that we have done to identify acute cases of hepatitis C using electronic laboratory reporting of negative hepatitis C testing results. So hepatitis C is a prevalent chronic liver infection that can result in long-term health problems. Hepatitis C virus is transmitted primarily through exposure to infectious blood, and public health has an interest in identifying acute hepatitis C cases primarily to interrupt transmission. However, identifying acute hepatitis C cases is challenging due to the lack of time-specific serological markers and frequent asymptomatic infections. So before I discuss what we have done to identify acute hepatitis C cases through negative electronic laboratory reporting, I need to mention the work of our viral hepatitis epidemiologist. So in Utah and maybe a few other states, we do not have the resources to assess every newly reported hepatitis C case for acuity. In 2014, our viral hepatitis epidemiologist implemented a new acute hepatitis C investigation algorithm. And this process focused acuity assessments on newly reported hepatitis C cases with one of two different indicators. So the first indicator is a new case reported from a blood component donation center. In this scenario, Utah investigators contact the Blood Component Donation Center that reported the case and ask if the case has donated previously. If the case has a donation history, the investigator collects the test results and test date for the case's last donation. If the case's donation history indicates seroconversion within the last 12 months, the case is considered acute and further investigated. The second indicator is a new case reported from an acute hepatitis panel. In this scenario, Utah investigators contact the provider or facility that ordered the acute hepatitis panel and ask for the results of any liver function tests that may have been performed. If the ALT or bilirubin is elevated, the case is considered acute and further investigated. So this new process tripled the number of acute hepatitis C cases identified in Utah and actually reduced the number of new reports that we were investigating for acuity. And so we ended up with 11 in 2013, and we moved to 31 in 2014. So he did a lot of work already to improve that process. So around the same time that our viral hepatitis epidemiologist implemented this new algorithm, my program, the informatics program, was working to improve electronic laboratory reporting throughout the state. A big part of that effort was to find opportunities to leverage ELR for the collection of data that was previously unrealistic or unmanageable, and not just to transition manual feeds to electronic feeds. And so we identified the collection of negative laboratory data as a priority. So the informatics program worked with the epidemiology programs to identify use cases for the collection of negative lab data. And for hepatitis C, use cases were identified for the collection of negative nucleic acid tests, which would help us to better calculate the prevalence of acute chronic hepatitis C cases in Utah, collect laboratory data to indicate either spontaneous resolution or treatment success, and improve case classification through the collection of negative supplemental tests that would indicate false positive screening tests. A use case was also identified for the collection of negative antibody tests, which we could use to identify seroconverters. So in 2015, the Utah Communicable Disease Rule was changed to mandate the reporting of negative lab data for certain diseases in Utah from electronic reporters. And this included all hepatitis C test results. So how do we use ELR to find acute cases? The first step is collecting and storing negative hepatitis C test results. So the Utah Department of Health receives an electronic message, an ELR message, in the electronic messaging staging area, or what we call EMSA. EMSA is a home-built application that receives and translates all incoming electronic messages, and so we also receive electronic case reporting through that system as well, and then run those messages through a series of rules to determine how to process them. So if a hepatitis C lab result does not meet the rule criteria to either update an existing case or create a new case in UTNEDS, which is our integrated disease surveillance system, we use Trisano, which is moving to EpiTrax, that message is sent to the gray list. The gray list is a secure database within EMSA, which holds lab results for a period of 18 months. After 18 months, all identifiable information is deleted. The resulting de-identified lab result is available for epidemiologists to use in assessments of statewide testing practices and the calculation of percent positivity, which can help us to better explain morbidity trends in the state. When we receive a negative hepatitis C test result electronically, it's kept here in the gray list. So the second step to finding acute cases by ELR is to query the gray list for negative testing results. So when a new case of hepatitis C is created in UTNEDS, the gray list is queried by electronic algorithms for any previous negative hepatitis C test results to determine if the case has recently seroconverted. Negative test results matching the case are automatically appended to that case in UTNEDS. And so one of our biggest concerns with the collection of negative lab testing results was the confidentiality of the persons associated with those test results. So while negative lab test results for known cases are useful for surveillance and case management purposes, the vast majority of negative lab test results are never associated with known cases, and we do not need to know who is being tested, what they're being tested for, or where they're being tested in an identifiable format. In order to maintain confidentiality, the entire process of receiving a negative lab result electronically, storing it in the gray list, querying the gray list, and populating UTNEDS with any relevant negative lab testing results is entirely automated. In addition, we only have about 5 people in the entire state who can access the data in the gray list, and that's mostly just for management purposes. So finally, our final step, once the negative lab result has been added to the case in UTNEDS, is for the investigator assigned. They can see the testing history, including the seroconversion, and then they can investigate that case appropriately. So what we wanted to do was assess the impact of electronic reporting of negative hepatitis C test results, as well as our algorithm for identifying acute hepatitis C cases through seroconversion. So we evaluated confirmed acute hepatitis C cases identified in Utah from 2012 through 2016. And so for this assessment, all acute hepatitis C cases were reclassified using the 2016 CSTE case definition for standardization, because over that period, there was a case definition change. And so according to the CSTE case definition, there are two ways for an acute case of hepatitis to be considered confirmed. One set of criteria requires the discrete onset of any sign or symptom, and that can include fever, headache, malaise, anorexia, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain, as well as either jaundice or an elevated ALT, and a positive hepatitis C virus detection test. Another set of criteria requires a documented negative hepatitis C virus test, followed within 12 months by a positive hepatitis C virus test. So a confirmed case can seroconvert from any test type to any test type. Additionally, this is the only component of the case definition that does not also require symptoms. Thus, this is the only component of the case definition that can identify asymptomatic cases. So these are the numbers of confirmed acute hepatitis C cases identified in Utah from 2012 through 2016. So 11 confirmed cases for a rate of 0.4 per 100,000 population were identified in both 2012 and 2013. In 2014, our viral hepatitis epidemiologist initiated the new process for assessing immunity, or acuity, I'm sorry, which resulted in a threefold increase in acute case identification. In 2015, we began collecting and storing negative lab testing results and running algorithms to populate existing cases with that data. Last year, in 2016, we identified 90 confirmed acute hepatitis C cases for a rate of 3 per 100,000 population. So I've also categorized all of our confirmed cases by the indicator that first made us suspect an acute infection. ELR seroconversion in the dark green indicates cases identified through this matching of previous negative lab testing results with newly reported hepatitis C cases. As you can see, there's a pretty substantial difference between the number of cases identified in 2015 and 2016. So this indicator relies on a comprehensive database of accumulated negative lab testing results. So remember, we have that gray list, which stores testing results for 18 months. And since we started collecting those results at the beginning of 2015, it took a while for that data to accumulate. And we didn't start identifying seroconverters until the end of that year. LFT cases are identified through elevated ALT or bilirubin values identified through supplemental collection of liver function test results. And so that was one of the indicators that our viral hepatitis epidemiologist was looking at. Blood donation indicates cases initially reported by a blood component donation center where the investigator was able to collect a previous negative donation test. And again, that was one of the other indicators that our viral hepatitis epidemiologist was looking at. Finally, other includes acuity indicators like a physician diagnosis, clinical symptoms, or a healthcare-related diversion outbreak. And that outbreak actually initially, we identified that first acute case through the blood donation component piece of our our acuity assessments. So from 2015 through 2016, we had a total of 92 new hepatitis C cases that had a previous negative test result added to their record from the gray list. 75 of those cases we were able to classify as confirmed. The remaining 17 cases we classified as not a case. One individual classified as not a case seroconverted from a negative NAT to a positive antibody test. Upon further investigation, we discovered that the individual had long ago been diagnosed with hepatitis C virus in another state, and we had either identified a chronic case that was currently experiencing intermittent viremia when that negative NAT was performed, or they were currently resolved at that point. There wasn't any additional supplemental testing. But regardless, that was clearly not an acute case. The remaining 16 cases had seroconverted from a negative antibody to a positive antibody. However, follow-up testing for all 16 of those cases produced negative NAT testing results. Additionally, 13 of those 16 cases seroconverted to a low positive antibody. So we considered that particular testing constellation suggestive of a false positive antibody result. So out of the 75 potential seroconverters we were able to classify as confirmed, we considered 24 of them, about one-third of those, to be confirmed with what we called a high degree of confidence. All 24 of those cases seroconverted from a negative antibody, which was to a positive antibody that was then followed up by a positive NAT. The remaining 51 we classified as confirmed because they technically met the case definition, but we don't feel incredibly confident that all of them are true acute cases. So we called those confirmed with a low degree of confidence. 36 of those cases seroconverted from a negative antibody to a positive antibody with unknown NAT testing results. This means that either no nucleic acid testing was performed, or we do not have the results of any nucleic acid testing that may have been performed. Additionally, one-third of those cases seroconverted to a low positive antibody. And so there's certainly potential that at least some of those cases were just false positive antibody screening test results. The remaining 15 cases that we are considering confirmed with a low degree of confidence seroconverted from a negative NAT alone. Since we have no antibody test results associated with the negative nucleic acid test, we think there's a possibility that at least some of those cases could either be unreported chronic cases with just resolved disease. So if we look back again at our confirmed acute cases and we consider only those 24 acute cases that were considered confirmed with a high degree of confidence, our case counts and rates for the past 2 years changed substantially, especially for 2016, where our case count drops from 90 to 56, although we still had an increased number of acute hepatitis C cases identified. So that is currently one of our biggest challenges with this new method of acute hepatitis C virus identification, assessing whether these potential seroconverters actually represent true acute cases. The median age of ELR seroconverters is 31 with a range of 18 to 68. And of those we have interviewed, 75% of them admit to IV drug use. So this is consistent with our confirmed acute cases identified through other means. So we feel confident that these are true acute cases. There are certainly true acute cases. The only characteristic of our cases identified through ELR seroconversion that differ from our confirmed acute cases identified through other means is the high degree of asymptomatic infections. So we know that we're also finding true acute cases that we would never be able to find through any other method. However, we do feel that our data shows varying degrees of probability for identifying true acute cases based on the constellation of test types and results for different cases. And we would suggest perhaps modifying the case definition to account for that variation. So another challenge has been getting our investigators to recognize the seroconversion in the testing history of the case. 32 of the 75 confirmed acute cases identified through ELR seroconversion were not actually recognized as potential acute cases until this assessment was performed. Those 32 cases were closed as chronic hepatitis C cases with notes indicating that the investigator found no indicators of acuity that would necessitate a more extensive investigation. It's clear that we need to provide more training opportunities to our investigators for this new method, consider some development enhancements in our surveillance system to make laboratory seroconversion a bit more obvious, and more frequently QA the process of acute hepatitis C case identification at the state. So a third challenge has been how to meaningfully act on these new cases. Surveillance data on these cases is disappointingly incomplete. These cases are difficult to find and interview. Many investigator notes indicate that cases have illicit drug addictions, are in secure treatment or detoxification facilities that won't allow patient contact or are otherwise seriously ill. Additionally, in Utah, we do not perform contact tracing on acute hepatitis C virus infections, so we rarely identify opportunities for intervention outside of scenarios with suspected healthcare-related transmission. Utah was recently awarded the Strengthening Surveillance in Jurisdictions with High Incidence of Hepatitis C Virus and Hepatitis B Virus Infections Grant, administered by CDC's Division of Viral Hepatitis. Through this grant, we are mandating the investigation of acute cases through the state following contracts with our local health departments. Case investigation will include contact tracing and follow disease intervention specialist protocols. We're also increasing capacity at the state to provide disease prevention education, syringe exchange resources, referrals to treatment and counseling, and testing for contacts. These efforts should help us to collect more complete quality surveillance data, identify patterns or settings of active transmission, identify additional cases, and interrupt transmission. And so finally, our last challenge is identifying acute cases through other methods of identification that continue to be time-consuming. So this year, we've made the reporting of liver function tests mandatory from electronic reporters. This will allow us to collect ALT and bilirubin test results automatically on all new hepatitis C cases and eliminate the time investigators must spend to contact providers for that follow-up information. Additionally, we've worked with our largest blood component donation center in Utah to develop a specific reporting process and reporting form that allows for blood component donation centers to report a donor's previous negative testing result at the time of the initial report of the positive. This also eliminates the time investigators must spend to contact blood component donation centers to gather that follow-up information. We hope to work with additional blood component donation centers to implement this process and eventually build a web portal for this information to be sent to us electronically. So in conclusion, the electronic collection and storage of negative hepatitis C test results has allowed us to develop a comprehensive database that can be used to identify acute cases of hepatitis C through seroconversion. Electronic algorithms that search for previous negative testing results and surveillance system processes that add these laboratory results to new cases saves investigator time and protects the confidentiality of those individuals identified in that database. And finally, leveraging new sources of electronic data and coupling those data sources with automation can improve public health identification of acute hepatitis C cases and contribute to our understanding of current transmission patterns and sources. So thank you for listening. And we've had a lot of contributors to this project. It's been a big group effort, and so I'd like to recognize them as well.
So we are going to open it up for questions. We have about 5 minutes. I would ask that people come to the microphone in the middle of the room.
How hard was it to write the program that would go back and search for negative tests once you had your positive identified?
Yeah, so our program is EMSA, and it's home-built, but it's also open source. And actually, at the time that we were writing it, we were anticipating doing this. We wanted to collect negative data since probably about 2013, which was when this was starting to be written. And so that was factored into that development. And so actually, by the time that we had the rule in place to collect that data. It was just a matter of just changing some of our algorithms to set that up.
How voluminous was the data, and was that would it be prohibitive just to retain the data instead of purging it after 18 months? Or
So we actually haven't had too much of an issue with keeping the information. We, as far as processing within our system, we had a few challenges with just receiving it. As far as keeping it, that wasn't so much of a challenge. So we ended up having, I mean, about 85% of all of our lab results that we receive go straight to the gray list. So 15% of those actually go in and either create or update cases. So the vast majority of the lab results we receive are really just held in that gray list. And then only about 5% of lab results held in that gray list ever come back out. So we have hepatitis C, hepatitis B, hepatitis A, HIV, syphilis, tuberculosis, and Lyme disease. I think we've got 7. I think I hit them all.
Negatives.
Negatives, yeah. Negatives are reportable for all of those conditions.
So, fascinating presentation. Thank you for sharing that. My question pertains to the effect that hepatitis C treatment may have on negative results. You know, we have, in the last several years, much newer and better direct-acting antiviral medications around hep C. That are more effective at sustained viral response, having negative, you know, RNA tests. And I'm wondering if you have any sense about what impact that may have. And so the people that, you know, were negative and then turned positive, do you have any sense about whether there was any impact around treatment of hep C, or if those cases were in treatment and had
Yeah, so that's been a challenge for us. We've certainly wanted to assess the use of these new treatment algorithms. I do know that about 66% of the negative NATs we receive actually end up going in. They end up appending to existing cases. and so we are collecting a lot of that information, and it's helping us to identify resolved cases. We'd like to start collecting treatment information, and we've considered ways to hook up with either our all payers claim database and those sorts of things. But that's really kind of in beginning stages, and we're really trying to look for some funding streams that could help us get that set up.
So how are you classifying them if they're RNA positive, then negative, and go back to positive again? Are you?
That's the other thing is, you know, the case definition used to be just once you're a hepatitis C case, you're always a hepatitis C case. And now there's the potential for identifying repeat infections, but then potentially differentiating those from intermittent viremia. That's really challenging. And so there's potential right now. We aren't specifically looking at cases to find positive, negative, positive. So there's the potential that in one particular case record, we've got some repeat infections. But that's something that we're looking at, is building some more of those algorithms in place. We want to identify, have some automatic algorithms that search through the testing history in those cases and set a field to resolved. And then if we get new testing results in, it would say, this case is resolved. I need to create a new case.
So we have about one more minute left for questions, so we'll try to keep it quick, and then maybe we can ask questions at the end of the session.
Hi, I'm Danica from Philadelphia. I wanted to ask about the antibodies that were reported. So for your low positivity, I wanted to know what your signal to cutoff ratio was, and then are you also receiving qualitatives, and what you do with a qualitative versus a quantitative?
Yeah, so our signal to cutoff ratio is, for most of our labs, is 11. We have a few labs that have some different ones, and I think it might be 9. I'm not entirely sure. But for most of those cases, there was still some quantitation, and it was usually like 1.1 or 1. It was hovering 1.4, hovering right above that threshold.
Real quick.
Okay.
question. Your LFTs that you get in, are you getting all LFTs from anybody that is tested, or are you getting LFTs for just those that are being tested for hepatitis?
So what we've asked for in our rule is liver function tests that have been performed within 30 days of a hepatitis test. Some of our labs have the ability to do that, some don't, and we've told them if you don't, you can just send us everything, and we have the algorithms that will process that.
And when they attach to the case, when do you dump the ones that you do not need?
So the ones in the gray list? So we keep those in the gray list for 18 months, and it's based on the date that it was reported to us. And so 18 months after that lab was reported to us, it gets stripped of all de-identifiers, so we ultimately keep some form of that lab result, but we move those into a different area, and that's available for query for our epidemiologists. But that de-identifiable data goes 18 months after the date of receipt.
So thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.